much you coming, all of you. It's a lot to come out of your time to drive over here, spend 2 hours tonight and whatever nights you come. That's a lot of time, and Charlie and I both appreciate that. You know, Charlie and I, we disagree on the subjects we're doing this weekend. Make no mistake about that. We think it's important, and we wouldn't be doing that. But we've always been able to maintain our friendship while we do that. And so what we think of this is it's basically an in-depth Bible study where both sides are fairly heard. There's no reason to get ugly with one another. We're going to press our points, and you're the one that's going to judge based upon the verses we use in proof. You go back and study it out and find out who's really got the truth. Because both Charlie and I agree that I could be wrong or he could be wrong, but the Bible is right. So whatever the Bible teaches is right. Thank you so much for coming. Now, I'm supposed to be proving tonight that the New Testament requires congregations to eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. That would be Sunday in our society. I suspect, Charlie can tell me if I'm wrong, I suspect that Charlie has no problem with eating the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, Sunday. But the issue of difference would be having to do it every first day of the week. And so I'm going to show you from the Bible, I'm not going to leave any doubt, I'm going to prove by the Bible, based on what God has said, not what I say, but what God has said, that we must eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Now, sin is a transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. And if the law says we must eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, and you're not doing it, that's sin. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. That's spiritual death. You see, that's why it's so important. If God has clearly said, and He has, that we must eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, and we're not doing that, that means, this is pretty blunt, that means that we'll be lost because of our sin. That's sinful. Now, it doesn't mean we have to be lost. We can repent, but we'll have to start eating the Lord's Supper every first day of the week and to do what God says. We must follow God's law. You'll remember in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, talking about Jesus, the Bible says, He is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Now get that. He's the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. That means if you're not obeying Him, and in particular we're talking about eating the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, then you will not be taking advantage of the salvation that Jesus provided. You'll be putting to waste all the great things that Jesus did for us. It'll be a waste for you because you're not obeying Jesus. I think Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So keep those passages in mind as I go through this. Now, I first would like you to turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 7. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Acts 20, verse 7, but I'm going to read it to you out of the King James Version. The Bible says in Acts 20, verse 7, "Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow and continue his speech until midnight." Now, sometimes we use the phrase breaking a bread to refer to a common meal. Maybe not so much anymore, but maybe some of you grandfatherly types can remember when the breaking of bread was used commonly referred to a common meal. Let's go and break bread together, eat a common meal. And sometimes in the Bible it's used that way. But in Acts 20, verse 7, it's not referring to a common meal. It's referring to the Lord's Supper. Let me show you a passage that would help you to understand that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, Paul said, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" So it's talking about the breaking of bread, and it calls it the communion. The communion. We know what that is. It's the Lord's Supper. What's under discussion tonight? The breaking of bread in 1 Corinthians 10:16 and Acts 20, verse 7 is talking about the communion, the Lord's Supper. Now, what day of the week did the disciples come together to break bread, to eat the Lord's Supper? According to Acts 20, verse 7, God's Word, what day of the week? The first day of the week. Our Sabbatarian friends are not right that the Sabbath is still binding, the seventh day of the week, Saturday in our society. They're not right. The Bible teaches that was part of the old law, and that was done away. I think Charlie will agree. The New Testament says instead we're to come together on the first day of the week to break bread and have preaching. That's what they did, and we ought to do that. We need to eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. My argument is simply this. We should follow approved examples in the Bible. I think you'll agree. I say approved examples. I don't mean when somebody like David sins with Bathsheba, that's an example we ought to follow it. No, I mean approved examples. New Testament approved examples we should follow. Our example, the disciples then, the congregations then, Acts 20 verse 7, ate the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. So that's what we ought to do. Since we must follow approved examples, and since that's the approved example we have in the Bible, in the New Testament, therefore we must eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, every first day of the week. So Acts 20 verse 7 teaches by approved apostolic example that we must eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. The only question is, audience, friends and neighbors, are you willing to follow that example? You say, Pat, what makes you think we have to follow approved examples? Let's look at a few passages that show that. I don't want just to assert that without proving that, because after all, I did say I was going to prove this beyond any shadow of a doubt. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Philippians 4, verse 9, out of the King James Version, reads, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Now notice what Paul's saying here. He's saying that the things you've learned from me, the things that you've heard from me, in other words, oral teaching, you're to follow, and the things that you've seen in me, do. In other words, he's saying, follow my example. Learn from what I teach and follow my example. Wasn't that what he said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1? "Be ye imitators or followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul commanded them to follow his example. Yes, he commanded them to obey his statements that he made by the inspiration of God, but he also commanded them to follow his example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Wouldn't that say we ought to follow the example of Paul? Philippians 3:17, Paul said, "Brethren, be ye followers together of us, and mark them which walk so as ye have us as an example." 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 9, "Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us." Over and over and over again, Paul is commanding them to follow his example. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 reads, "That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Follow them. Do what they do. Follow their example. And then Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord." So he complimented them because they had followed Paul and the other apostles and disciples. You see what I'm saying? Paul is commanding in the Bible, and this applies to us today, that we follow these approved New Testament examples. Well, guess who was preaching in Acts 20, verse 7? Paul. Paul is the one with that congregation at that time. They came together on the first day of the week to break bread and had preaching. It says Paul preached unto them. Now, we won't go into it at this time, but for your reference, if you'll also turn to 1 Corinthians 11, about verses 17 through 34, it talks about the Lord's Supper. It talks about doing it in the church, in the congregation, and it gives some regulations about it. It doesn't tell us how often to do it, but perhaps you'd like to study that. That's another passage that teaches we all eat the Lord's Supper. But Acts 20, verse 7 is critical in this debate because it's the one that tells us the frequency. And that's where Charlie and I differ, the frequency. Now remember, Pat Donahue is not the one that made this up or says it. It's Luke, through speaking through inspiration from God. He's the one that wrote Acts 20, verse 7. He's the one that tells us, and it's in your Bibles, not just mine, but in yours, that those disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread, that is, eat the Lord's Supper, and then Paul preached to them. Do you do that? Do the churches of God, of the Union Assemblies, the congregations, do they do that every first day of the week, like the New Testament churches did we read about in our Bible? If not, sin is the transgression of the law. The wages of sin is death. Now, somebody might ask, well, Pat, why is the Acts 20, verse 7 example so important? Why is it so important? Well, why is anything that God said important? Charlie, am I correct that y'all agree with us that a person has to be baptized in water to be saved? Yeah, we're in agreement over that. Somebody might say, maybe you're talking with your Methodist friend who was only sprinkled. Why is baptism so important, Charlie? Why is it so important? Because God said to do it. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved" is a good passage to turn to, Mark 16, 16. If God tells us to do it, it's important. In Acts 20, verse 7, we learn by example that we ought to eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. It's clear. Is it important? Of course. God told us about that. He instructed us to follow the example. This example in Acts 20, verse 7 is not just what some individuals did incidentally. It wasn't just something they did by happenstance. No, the mention of the Lord's Supper in this verse is in connection with the first day of the week, which, and it's not just said in passing. There's a specific mention of it on purpose. It's not just said in passing. Now notice it wasn't just done by two or three individuals. It was done by a group of Christians. It was done by a congregation meeting together. Notice 1 Corinthians 11. During a worship service. Does that sound like something that was just incidental that we don't need to even think about or worry about? It was accompanied by preaching. Notice this next point. It was determined beforehand by the disciples, that congregation, that they would come together on the first day of the week for the very purpose of eating the Lord's Supper. That's not incidental. The congregation predetermined beforehand that this is the reason they're coming together, to eat the Lord's Supper. That is why they came together. Now, some of you may be saying, well, I see that, Pat, I see that. But it doesn't have the word every in there. Why do you think it means every first day of the week? It says they came together on the first day of the week. Why do you think every? Well, I want to parallel Acts 20, verse 7 to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Now, we've mentioned the Sabbath. In the Old Testament, the Jews, the Israelites, were told, as one of the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That was the seventh day of the week, our Saturday. That was only for the Jews. But all of that doesn't matter. Just remember that they were told to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How often do they have to keep the Sabbath? David, how often do they have to keep the Sabbath? Every week. Everybody here agrees they had to keep it every Saturday. Of course, I don't think they use the word Saturday, but I'll put it in our terminology. Every time the seventh day of the week rolled around, they were to keep it. But you know, Exodus 20, verse 8 doesn't say, remember every Sabbath day. It doesn't have the word every in there. It just says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If you wanted to obey the command, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, how would you know that meant every Sabbath? Because let's suppose it turns up to be Friday evening when the Sabbath started back then. And you say, I'm going to either obey that command in Exodus 20, verse 8, or I'm not. If you choose not to keep that Sabbath holy, then you're not obeying the command. If you choose to obey the command, then you will keep that Sabbath holy. Now, the next week, you're either going to choose to obey the command or not to obey the command. And if you choose to faithfully follow God and obey the command every time, that means you would end up keeping the Sabbath every week. He said to remember the Sabbath day. How often does the Sabbath day roll around? Every week. So you would keep it every week. Now, it's the exact same reasoning with Acts chapter 20, verse 7 and the Lord's Supper. We're commanded to follow the example. The example is they came together on the first day of the week to break bread, to eat the Lord's Supper. It doesn't say every, but now it's coming up on Sunday, the first day of the week. And you're thinking, well, am I going to obey the example of Acts 20, verse 7? Well, either you are or you're not. If you decide you're going to obey it, you'll come together on that first day of the week and eat the Lord's Supper. If you decide not to obey the example, you won't eat the Lord's Supper that first day of the week. But you see that if every week you decide to obey the example of Acts 20, verse 7 like you've been commanded to, you'll end up eating it every week. Just like the Sabbath, when it said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, even though it didn't say the word every, you know it meant every because every week had a Sabbath in it. The same reasoning applies to Acts 20, verse 7. When it says, by example, to eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, it doesn't have the word every there, but you know to eat it every first day of the week because every week has a first day of the week in it. And so, every Sunday, the churches of Christ make up their mind they're going to follow that example. And so, every week, every first day of the week, they come together to break bread and have preaching. Every Sunday, every first day of the week, because we're trying to follow the Bible exactly. I know that you people are too. And so, I don't quite understand, since you people are trying to follow the Bible exactly, I have no idea why you would want to leave this off. Why not just follow the Bible? It's simple enough. Just eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week like God has commanded through example. If you want to actually follow the Bible, and after all, the Bible is the roadmap to heaven. If you want to follow the map to heaven, why not just go ahead and do what the map says? For the life of me, I can't figure out why the Church of God of the Union Assembly would oppose this doctrine, since you are just trying to follow the Bible, just like we are. Then why oppose what Paul did and the disciples did in Acts 20, verse 7. Instead, why don't you just follow it? That seems easy for me. Let me give you some more examples of regular observance. Many of you have a house payment. And the Bible, not the Bible, but your agreement says that you're to make that house payment, suppose it's the first day of the month. Well, how often are you supposed to do it? If your house payment is due the first of the month, or your rent is due the first day of the month, how often are you expected to do it? Every first day of the month. Every month. Because that's how often the first day of the month rolls around. The Passover in the Old Testament, they were commanded to keep the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. But God didn't have to say every 14th day of the first month. When He said to remember the Passover the 14th day of the first month, since there was the 14th day of the first month rolled around once a year, they knew to do the Passover once a year. Just like July the 4th. How often does that come around? Once a year. So we celebrate the birth of our nation once a year. July 4th happens once a year. First day of the week happens once a week. So we eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. In the Old Testament, they had some regulations about the new moon. How often then were they to observe those regulations? Well, how often did you have a new moon? About once a month. So that's how often they observed those regulations. As we've already been over the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? How often? How often did the Sabbath roll around? Once a week. It's exactly the same reasoning for the Lord's Supper. First day of the week. How often does the first day of the week roll around? Every week. So we eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Now, sometimes people will say, but you can only find one verse in the Bible that tells you how often to eat the Lord's Supper. Acts 20, verse 7 is the only verse that tells you that. Well, how many times does God have to say something for you to obey it? How many times does God, if you respect God, and He says it one time, if you love Him, you'll obey it. For example, I think we're all familiar with what sometimes people call the steps of discipline in Matthew 18, 15 through 17. If somebody sins against you in private, it tells you the steps of what you're supposed to do. Verse 15 of Matthew 18 says, tell him his fault between thee and him alone. The point is, if it's between you in private, try to get him to repent of the sin in private. Nobody else needs to know about it if he's willing to repent. Then it says in verse 16, if he won't repent when you go to him alone, take with thee one or two more. Then verse 17 says, well, if he won't repent then, tell it to the church. Then you make it public. Try to get him to repent. And it's because you want him to repent, to be saved. You know, that's only one time. No steps are only given one time in the whole Bible. But none of us in here would think, well, since that's only in there one time, we don't have to obey it. Surely we understand that if God says something one time, that's enough. So if God says, tells us, teaches us, by command or example, or necessary inference, even just one time that we ought to eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, then we ought to do it. And that's what he does in Acts 20, verse 7. I ask you, friends and neighbors, are we supposed to go by the Bible or not? Are we supposed to go by the Bible? Y'all believe that we are? We are supposed to go by the Bible, right? In the Bible, we read that the disciples came together on the first day of the week to eat the Lord's Supper, Acts 20, verse 7. I ask you again, does the congregation you worship with do this? If not, can you honestly say that you are going by the Bible? New Testament Christians, I believe the Church of God of the Union Assembly would claim to be New Testament Christians. New Testament Christians ate the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7. Therefore, I eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Do you claim to be a New Testament Christian? Then you should do what New Testament Christians did and eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Mr. Souter, how much time do I have? I want you to notice something else. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That doesn't mean that when you do something that you say that you're doing it in His name necessarily. That means you actually do it in His name. You do it by His authority. I think Charlie would agree, my friend Charlie would agree, that according to Colossians 3:17, we're not to do things in religion unless we have the authority of Christ, unless Christ has taught us to do it in His word. Whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it by His authority. The authority for our practice, my practice, the practice of the churches of Christ, eating the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, is found in Acts 20, verse 7. I asked you, where is the authority for Charlie's practice, that is, eating the Lord's Supper on a day other than the first day of the week? Now, let me ask you a question. Now, somebody told me this. I don't know if it's true. Somebody told me that the Church of God of the Union Assembly has only eaten the Lord's Supper twice in the last 40 years. Now, Charlie can tell me if that's true. If you have only eaten the Lord's Supper twice in the last 40 years, Do you really feel like you're obeying 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34, where it tells us to eat of the bread because that represents Christ's body, broken body, or to drink of the fruit of the vine because that represents His spilled blood? Remembering Christ's death till He comes, do you really feel like you're obeying that passage? Do you really feel like you're obeying Acts 20, verse 7, the disciples came together the first day of the week to break bread, that is, eat the Lord's Supper, and you've only eaten the Lord's Supper twice in the last 40 years? How can you think that you're actually obeying Christ when you're doing that? This is something that God commands us to do, just like baptism. God expects New Testament Christians to baptize people that they can get to agree to become Christians. And God expects us also to eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Leaving off the Lord's Supper would be just as bad as leaving off baptism. We cannot leave off any command of God because disobeying God results in our spiritual death. Thank you so much, and I invite your attention to Charlie's speech at this time.